Representative Sean Patrick Maloney is the Democrat in New York's 18th district. He's been in office since 2013. Sean, I guess I want to go where the action is. Let's talk about the Democratic primary. Things are heating up. What's your insight?
Well, look, you know, everybody should buckle their seatbelts. You know, we're coming down to the final wire here. I think in the end, you know, the activist base is going to date Bernie Sanders, but they're going to marry Hillary Clinton. You know, at the end of the day, Hillary Clinton is overwhelmingly qualified to be president. She is a progressive who has gotten real results her whole career. You know, full disclosure for people who don't know, you know, I worked for him, so I'm biased. But I just think she represents an historic and powerful and productive progressive change. And I think that's what we need.
There are people who think that the Clintons are, you know, have hobnob with the posh and the near posh, and that, you know, that therefore they're not really progressive enough. You say they're progressive, but, you know, they collect a lot of money. They make a lot of speeches. That's the kind of thing that I keep hearing from people that they don't like about them.
Yes, and as the vice president says, you know, I hope people don't compare her to the almighty, just to the alternatives. And my problem with Bernie Sanders that I do not believe this country is going to elect a socialist from Vermont president. And so I am very worried when I look over at the Republican side and see someone running a hate-based campaign like Donald Trump or an extreme conservative like Ted Cruz. I am very concerned that if we don't stay focused on the Democratic side, one of those two guys could actually win it. And so, you know, Hillary Clinton is not perfect, but man, she's gotten progressive results her whole career. She's a fighter. She represents historic change. I think we should give her some credit. I do think when all the dust settles, she will be the Democratic nominee and she can win the White House.
Now, Bill Clinton, I read in the paper, don't ask me which one, the other day, that Bill has been critical of the Hillary campaign because they didn't take Bernie seriously enough in the beginning. Have you heard anything about that?
Look, there's all this kind of, you know, insider baseball stuff in the press when you come down the wire. I read the article. It was a bunch of unnamed sources. There's always going to be people second-guessing anything in politics. I know for a fact that there is no bigger supporter of Hillary Clinton than former President Clinton. And, you know, if we stop for a minute and remember that we grew the economy at historic rates, raised incomes, kept the country safe, you know, that was the Clinton model. And there is a progressive wind blowing in the Democratic Party, no doubt about it. But look at Hillary Clinton's lifetime record of fighting for people who've been shut out and marginalized from their time at the Children's Defense Fund right up through the health care battles. You know, Bill and Hillary Clinton are a team, and they represent a type of productive, progressive policies that create prosperity and peace. And we should just stay focused on that.
If, I know you don't want to engage in this, but if Bernie wins in New Hampshire and maybe Iowa, what will that do to the campaign?
Oh, I don't think too much. I think that it's a marathon, and Hillary's folks understand that. Look, at the end of the day, she's talking about a $15 minimum wage. At the end of the day, she's talking about paid child leave, which we can afford in a balanced budget plan. At the end of the day, she's talking about investments in infrastructure to grow our economy. These things matter to broad sections of the American population. If you look at the people I represent in the Hudson Valley, you know, they're proud that we passed an infrastructure bill that will invest in our trains here, that will help commuters pay through pre-tax dollars again to cut commuting costs. That's what I'm focused on in Washington. It's the kind of thing I think Hillary Clinton's been talking about to help working and middle-class families, you know, get ahead, stay ahead. That's what's going to matter.
So I want to change subjects now, if you would allow that. And that is, I want to go to Iran and ask you, how much faith do you have in these people who are running that country? And do you think that we can count on them to keep their word, or whether they're going to be duplicitous or not?
Oh, I think they will. I think they will be duplicitous. But that's just another way of saying that, you know, that country will get away with everything. You know, they think they can. This agreement is about, you know, preventing them from getting a nuclear weapon, period. And then we have a whole bunch of other challenges with Iran, from their support of terrorism and Hezbollah, the Quds Forces activities in Syria. You know, they are bad actors. They have engaged in terrible, terrible policies that have hurt our servicemen, that have hurt our allies, that destabilize the region. But we do not give up any options with this agreement. And if they violate it, we have every option on the table to prevent them from getting a nuclear weapon. But credit where credit is due. They have shipped out of the country 12,000 kilograms of enriched uranium. They have mothballed their overwhelming majority of their centrifuges. So as we sit here today, they are far, farther away from a nuclear weapon than they were just 6 months ago. It is the fact that 6 months ago, as recently as the summer, they could have raced towards a nuclear weapon, and we would have been at war. Right now, it is actually impossible for them to race towards a nuclear weapon. They don't have the stockpiles of enriched uranium. They don't have the capacity to create it. And so far, so good. Now, they're getting some things out of this, too, and we have to watch it like a hawk and see what they do, not what they say.
Now, Netanyahu in Israel says he and the country, Israel, will be the guarantor of this. You know, what do you make of that, of his emergence and saying that? Is it just that he's ticked off that people didn't listen to him, and even though he tried to intervene in American politics, it didn't work?
Well, look, I think I understand completely that an Israeli prime minister is going to take responsibility for the safety and security of people in Israel. And we shouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, if my kids went to bed in Tel Aviv, I wouldn't mind the prime minister saying that one bit. I do think that there's no light between us on that. The United States of America has every reason, for its own sake, not just for the protection of Israel, to make sure this agreement is followed to a T. This cannot be about them slowly, you know, socializing the concept of getting a nuclear weapon. This agreement must be about preventing them from ever having a nuclear weapon. And then we need to build on it by addressing their terrible actions in the Middle East, by supporting terrorism and all sorts of destabilizing forces, and the murderous Assad regime in Syria. So, you know, this is just the beginning of curtailing Iran's destabilizing activities in the Middle East.
Well, we only have a minute, but it is interesting that there is a emerging middle class in Iran. I think everybody knows it, who have no tolerance for the Ayatollah's, you know, sort of religious velocity. And that may be what they're all worried about.
I do think we should remember that there is more than one government in Iran. It seems clear from the last year or so,
right,
that you do have a civilian leadership in Rouhani and the foreign minister who are pushing this agreement, pushing more openness with the West, and that they do not control the reactionary and conservative forces in the Republican Guard and the Supreme Leader himself. And we are seeing that play out. And so when you look at Iran, I think it's very important to remember that no one group is really in the driver's seat. I do think this agreement will empower, to some degree, the moderates, and that's good. But where this money goes that we're freeing up, and who benefits from that, and if it's used for military adventurism and terrorism, it's going to empower the military at the same time. So we have to understand we're not dealing with just one government in Iran, and we have to watch it like a hawk.
Fascinating. Really very interesting discussion. Sean Patrick Maloney, very much appreciate your being with us. We'll come back the next time. Let's talk about some more politics, but this time on the congressional level.